Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, Joy in Mission. It's based on the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 15. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning. It's a joy and delight to welcome you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, this day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Old Testament lesson is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds in thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines, and all inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, Behold, I judge between the sheep and the sheep, and the rams and the male goats. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet. And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, Behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder, and thrust all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. And he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be a prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all.
The epistle is from 1 Timothy chapter 1. I thank them who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he has judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Thus saying is the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, at the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. The story is told that the first man to climb to the summit of Mount Everest, Sir Edmund Hillary, was asked why he wanted to climb this particular mountain. And Sir Hillary replied, "Because it's there." So he went to great personal expense, risked his very life, and climbed this particular mountain. I assume that he felt a tremendous amount of exhilaration when he reached the top. And I also assume that he enjoyed the tremendous public recognition that he received afterward. But was it worth it? Well, I guess it was. Although I don't think it was worth it for those who died before they reached the top or for their families and friends. Our Lord Jesus Christ faced a tremendous challenge at great price to himself in order to win our redemption. His motive was more than simply accepting the challenge. It was his great love for us before the foundation of the world that led him to accept this task. And we know that it gave Jesus great joy when his work was completed. Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Our gospel text also tells us of God's great joy when a sinner repents, when a person who is lost is brought back to him. That is God's mission, spoken of in the Bible from his promise given to the patriarch Abraham in Genesis 12, verse 3. that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed, and predicted and described again and again and again, all the way to the book of Revelation. God's mission brings great joy in heaven. It also brings great joy to His believers as you and I participate in the privilege of seeking and saving the lost. God truly does experience joy in mission. God's Word tells us that all people are by nature lost in sin. Scripture does not mince any words about it. It does not whitewash it or beautify it. It says bluntly, we were lost sinners, far removed from God. The tax collectors with their cheating and the prostitutes with their harsh coarseness are no more removed from God than anyone else. We all were totally lost, like the Pharisees. We deluded ourselves into thinking that we were not. Here in this gospel text, Luke describes for us these two groups of people. The first group is that large number of tax collectors and sinners who draw near to Jesus in order to hear Him. The second group is the Pharisees and the scribes who criticize and loudly grumble about it. Tax collectors, of course, were perceived by passionate Jews to be collaborators with the earthly Roman oppressors, and they were also considered to be traitors to the people of Israel. The term sinners here should be seen in a social sense. All of us are sinners, of course. But the word here specifically refers to those who were seen as notorious public sinners. Thus, they were also considered as social outcasts. The term Pharisee refers to the religious leader's belief of being separated in order to be truly pure. You and I can see this as a characteristic of legalistic piety. Our understanding of our relationship with God will impact our understanding of our relationship to others. Since the Pharisees sought a legalistic righteousness based on their obedience to God's law and human traditions, their piety ultimately became self-centered and led to arrogant pride and a condemning attitude toward others. In contrast, the piety rooted in trust in God's gracious forgiveness and love leads to humility, to recognition that we too are sinners, and a grateful, loving response toward God and others. Eating with others in the culture of the Bible, as well as in so many other cultures, meant full social acceptance of those with whom a person ate. For this reason, the Pharisees were scandalized that Jesus ate with such notorious public sinners. Yet God loves and values each and every lost sinner. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, Paul writes that God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. We see His care in looking for the lost in the image of the shepherd who leaves behind the 99 sheep in order to find the one who is lost. Anyone, shepherd or not, would do exactly the same thing as the man in this parable did. The point is compassion, not merely the loss of property. We see His care in looking for the lost in the image of the poor woman who must find the one lost coin and who diligently seeks it. In Palestine, houses had very low roofs and no windows. She had to light a candle and sweep the entire house. By the way, silver coin was the Greek equivalent of the Roman denarius, an average day's wage for a common laborer. It seems to us that we are looking for Jesus, but in reality, it is Jesus who is looking for us. God does not leave us in our misery. He comes after us until He finds us and until He rescues us. Therefore, I plead with each one of you to turn and to cling to our Lord's abundant mercy, for He truly cares for the lost sinner. No matter how far you and I have strayed, or how much of a mess you and I have made of our lives, looking for the lost was Jesus' priority and joy. He offended the Pharisees by hanging out with those wrong kind of people. When He was engaged in evangelism, He even forgot to eat. We think of the example when Jesus evangelized the Samaritan woman at the well and told His disciples later, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." The Father's will sent Jesus willingly to the cross to save the lost that He was looking for. And when God's will is done and the lost are found, Jesus Christ, with all the heavenly host, rejoices. A person's soul is not prized highly in the things of this world, but it is more precious in the sight of God than all the gold in the world. He has purchased this soul with His holy and precious blood. God's joy is reflected in the church's joy in mission. Jesus sends His church to continue His mission of seeking and saving the lost. Martin Luther wrote, "We live on earth only so that we should be of help to other people. Otherwise, it would be best if God would strangle us and let us die as soon as we were baptized and had begun to believe. For this reason, however, He lets us live so that we may bring other people also to faith as He has done for us." We know it is not an easy task. The shepherd had to search long and hard to find the one sheep. The woman had to sweep and search diligently in order to find the one lost coin. But we do it because of the eternal value of each individual sinner in the eyes of God. This emphasis on the value of each and every sinner is found in both parables shared by our Lord. This task requires judgment, or adjustment rather, on our part in order to reach the lost. As Paul says to the Corinthians, "I have become all things to all people, so that by all means I might save some." We leave no stone unturned. Just as the woman searches every corner of the house, we adapt to other cultures. We translate the Holy Scriptures. We work tirelessly and diligently out of love for God and for the lost. It takes time and it requires sacrifice. But for us too, as for God Himself, when the mission is accomplished, there is rejoicing. The rejoicing is to be equally great among the owner, their friends, and their neighbors. Why? Because property has now been recovered? No. Because the lost has been found. In each parable spoken by our Lord, the individuals all rejoice equally because the loss has now been overcome. And don't lose sight of heaven's extreme joy over repentance. By the way, the angels sang at creation. The angels sang when Christ was born. And the angels still sing today when one sinner repents. Heaven reverberates with joy over repentance. That is, contrition over sin and faith in the gospel. This joy in mission, God's and ours, is everlasting. The salvation of lost souls brings joy for eternity. We have all heard the phrase, you can't take it with you. You can't take your money. You can't take your house. You can't take any of your academic degrees or anything else from this life with you into heaven. Future President Donald J. Trump was quoted as saying, after his wife Melania gave birth to their son Barron in 2006, am I not still young? I still produce children. I am still young. Some may rely on their children to provide a sense of immortality in this life, but Holy Scripture reminds us that everything we might cling to in this world will come to an end. Still, there is one thing that we can take with us to God's eternal kingdom: other people. If we bring our children to Christ and they remain in the faith, then they will be with us in heaven. If our friend comes to know and believe in Jesus Christ, then he or she will be with us in heaven. This is abiding fruit that Christ Himself works, and nothing matters more to God than saving lost sinners. As our Savior says in Luke chapter 15, verse 10, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the joy of mission for us too. We take nothing with us from this life. But if we have led a soul to Jesus Christ, a son or a daughter, a spouse or a friend, then we will rejoice with them in all eternity. Paul says when he speaks about his converts in Thessalonica, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. In God's eternal kingdom, you and I will rejoice in fellowship with God and with all those who have been redeemed forever. We don't know much about what heaven will be like, but this much you and I do know. This is God's eternal purpose, that we should live with Him in His presence, and that we should live with one another. For this reason, too, Scripture refers to the church, the people of God, as His temple, His dwelling place. Dear friends in Christ, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. There is something so joyful about gathering together at the end of the growing season, the close of the year. As a harvest festival, it reminds us of how God has provided for all of our needs. We sometimes forget about the hard physical labor, the great risks, and the tremendous anxieties of farming. These two parables shared by our Savior emphasize the theme of joy. The shepherd carries the lost sheep back to the flock, rejoicing. The shepherd and the woman rejoice with their friends and neighbors. There is incredible joy in heaven. God rejoices. The angels rejoice. Even now, great will be our joy on that last day when Jesus Christ raises our bodies from the dust and gathers us with people from every nation, from all tribes and all languages who have believed on His name. And greater still will be our joy because we have been allowed to participate in God's spiritual harvest, because God has allowed each one of us to be co-workers in His mission. And now may the mercy and love of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing as we sing closing hymn number 830.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Go in the peace and joy of Christ. Amen.